This is the committee of the whole meeting, May 21st, 2012.
It is called committee of the whole to order at 7:55. Roll call.
Trustee Clemens.
Present.
Trustee Newby.
Present.
Trustee Sandoval.
Here.
Trustee Fenicelli.
Present.
Trustee Tribbin.
Present.
Trustee Wazinski.
Present.
2.1, approval of the minutes of the committee of the whole of May 7th, 2012.
So moved. Second.
Wazinski, who gets the second? Fenicelli. Questions, comments? Roll call, please.
Trustee Newby?
Aye.
Trustee Sandoval?
Yes.
Trustee Condoncelli?
Aye.
Trustee Trippin?
Aye.
Trustee Wazinski?
Aye.
Trustee Clemens?
Aye.
Motion carries. Public comment? Public comment? And to Human Resources and Finance, reimbursement fees.
Yes, reimbursement of fees. And Steve possibly tried to explain this to me. And I don't know that I really get it, but here it goes. So,
I can help every time.
But now we're going to keep you good at it.
So, when we have development, generally there's services that are provided. There's specific development done for things like sewer and what other examples are there? Sewer, legal, legal,
okay. Engineering services,
planning potentially.
Okay. Any sort of design work, so it goes.
Yes. So for services like that, we currently do not have an escrow account for that type of situation. So in the case when we get to the point where we have to do any reimbursement, we don't have an account for that.
We do have escrow accounts. What we're trying to do is codify the practice of establishing an escrow account. Okay. So it's never in code to establish.
Oh, it's just not official. Okay.
So we just want our current practices. We need to start an escrow, so we'll have to codify that.
Okay, so that's it.
Yeah, I have a question for you, Mr. Chair. Last meeting, we asked about looking into the putting the checkbook online, being able to have the committee meet and research that.
No, sir. I did not.
Did you get a report for next month?
Yes, sir.
Okay. On the reimbursement fees, everybody's okay with moving that forward?
Yes.
Okay. Public Works Facilities, Capital Assets, Engineering. Public Works Personnel Hiring Request.
Thank you, Member. Overview of that. I've been here about 2.5 months and enjoyed it very much. My initial assessment, we do well at reacting as a public work department. We need to increase our emphasis on preventative maintenance to take care of the existing infrastructure. And so this permanent position that is in the budget has been vacant since October. I wanted to hold off for some while to assess the department that I'm talking about. And while that's still working progress, and the executive summary talks to building a magnitude, finding the magnitude of that operation prevention and factoring in the reality of public work, some kind of reaction. That's still work in progress. But I really definitely am of the opinion that we do need to fill this position with a permanent vehicles and give Sid selected person following an open competitive advertisement and interview process. Get that person on board, get their feet wet, if I might say, in the summer months. Have that person certainly up to speed for their operation. So my request is to confirm to the board to allow us to go forward with advertising to hold this function in position.
Question. When we say select the president, this will be a minor resident of Phil Espot?
No.
My question is, it'll go out, like the normal to post it, and the applicants will apply, and you'll interview and make the selection from there.
Yes.
Two, don't you really think that you could use two people? The amount of work you have going on at that public works facility, it'll make it a whole lot easier to get that other person for their small operation.
A couple of brief responses. I want us to be in a position to come next winter to be able to sustain operations 24 hours a day or some number of days. We have enough equipment, not necessarily the right equipment for major snowstorms, but I run out of people. And so augmentation by a variety of resources be a package that I've started working on. I've had some conversation with Mike to be able to use some resources there. But to your basic question, do I know today how many people should Public Works Department have? No, but it's more than I have. And as I've talked with several of you, at some time in like the next 2 months, session where I could walk through and I see the needs of maintaining, operating, and improving the infrastructure we have.
Well, I know it's been around a little while and I've seen the operations of the board, and my personal opinion of the board is that you need that SME. And so I'm going to remind you when you're short and you're down that you should have asked that SME.
And I'd rather ask for everything at one time, not that the budget will support the need, but at least challenge me in that discussion and come to hopefully comfort that there is a greater need than we have resources for, so that collectively going forward we can hopefully work our way to that solution. Said to several of you, the deterioration infrastructure does not care without our budgetary dollars. And I have that fear that I'm not ready yet to give a hopefully meaningful presentation with some quantification. I'm working on it. I'm not there.
I want to remind you that the amount of work that you guys have to do on your plate. The guys are stressed out right now, but they have to open up all the things to do. So that extra person would alleviate some of that stress. So I'm sure you're hearing about the overload and the stress that they're under. So my recommendation.
So do we have budget to incrementally add?
One or two or not?
Don, you're recommending.
I'm actually not sure that we've got some help then. They need that employee.
Are you recommending one or two?
You're recommending two.
Right now, we have the positions and the money's allowable for us for one person because we've lost one.
Right.
So that's two budget. One we're good for. The second one, we could have to be doing to reach that. Should we be looking at two right away, or should we still look at one and see some new and so thank you that this restructuring of getting on the basis of your workflows and things and that and this other person that could start leaking it once we actually have his full plan in effect.
The need is now. They need it now. And especially in the winter, the snow route, operation route, they need it now. without this component coming up, and you guys are present. And we just talked with some of the guys, and they'll hear some of the stress from them. Without their support, if somebody's sick, then they got double the work. And so he really could use
really two people
yes.
to hear what that will look
like. And trusting you, Dan, I totally appreciate your care and concern. And when we're with you, even though we don't sound like it, we didn't get into this situation overnight. We're not going to get out of it overnight. And so my preference still is giving the opportunity in a month or so to sing the whole song as best as I can, because it's more than two people that's needed if we're going to improve and maintain the existing infrastructure. I think they would pay that number, whatever that number is, not that the budget's dead there.
Well, nothing happened then. I mean, well, sorry, but not that way. So now it's time to speak to Gil.
It's not a question.
I believe what Ron has stated is that he's working on his recommendation, and I think he would well appreciate the support of the board in allowing him the time to work through his job as he sees proper, instead of suggesting how he should do his job. And when he's ready, he will have recommendations, like he said, well beyond what our budget limitations will allow, but he will present you a menu of options that we should consider.
And when the health care is around, being brand new, and some of us have been around a while, even you was there, should be able to work to this direction, help him out to get his stuff.
And if we allow him to proceed as he is, that will happen.
Ron, I have a question. You've got a gentleman who's been here for 1,000 hours in June. You've done that, and there's no replacing him, so is that another half a body that you're out?
It's actually a full body.
Well, that's full body. Right.
Limited hours.
Right, month. So is he in his job on the back burner until January 1 again? No.
You can hire somebody to fill that class for probably 1,000 hours, right?
Can help me out speed as large as to.
Well, his position. Yeah, his position that he currently is filling is a full time position, but he's not a full time employee.
Right.
And that's the position that we're in lieu of direct hire. Ron and I talked about it, and we thought it was best to publicize for that job and to offer it up to competition. And then obviously that if that individual chooses to apply, they can apply. They know the problem they got operations, but that spot would be filled, so it would be a full-time position. That's what this is for. Essentially, he was a seasonal employee for several years, and that's one of the issues that Ron was looking at, the seasonal employees too. That may be a way to increase the staffing over the longer term, that we didn't come at this point for consideration because, as the mayor said, Ron said that they want to evaluate, Ron wants to evaluate the department and come up with the correct staffing plan at this point. But that individual is full-time now, but is only limited because I have our requirements. Then this position will be full-time. If the board chooses to authorize the position, we'll publish and hire somebody. So hopefully that'll be seamless by the time he's done. We'll have another candidate that we can hire.
Okay. So if he chooses not to apply for that position, we hire somebody, and then he still jumps down to you.
Yes, ma'am. Correct.
Okay. He is interested. But again, I do not wish to come to the board requesting a direct hire. Hungry environment out there, and would not be surprised to get up with the applicants.
So I have a question also on the, so the, which one of the year-to-date numbers for
owner to both of them. So if this person's salary is split between two accounts, then they're correct.
50% general fund, 50% water and sewer. That's pretty well across the board. We have public money, except for the water and sewer form and water speaking, dominantly water.
Currently, we have a full-time position open, but we don't have staff right now, which is what you're looking to fill. We still have this other employee who is technically a seasonal employee that's been with us up to 1,000 hours. So if we go away, that position would still be open for seasonal?
That's
so potentially still be, or?
And that's what Ron wants to determine, if seasonal is the right answer or some other combination.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
to
okay.
Answer your question. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. So we're okay with moving this forward as requested at this time?
Yeah, that's correct.
Thank you.
Okay. Next is the acceptance of public improvements in Heron Bay.
The item here is related to Heron Bay subdivision, which is taken over by the bank. They've requested that a letter of credit be released, and they want to substitute a one-year maintenance bond. We've done all the inspections, we've created a punch list. They've done all the work necessary for acceptance of these improvements. So the next step in the process would be to take acceptance of the public improvements and develop a substitute or provide a maintenance bond for the long.
And this is only for the underground utility improvements?
Correct.
With the sewers?
Water main, sewers.
Cool. And should we, and we don't have surface course on the pavements, and the pavements are not being accepted at this point, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Pavements typically go with an engineer's approval. They don't get accepted the way actual physical piece of property like a sewer or a water main does. And I don't know where we're at on the engineer's approval of the pavement. That's an item that's separate from this particular bill of sale.
As I understand it, the road is transferred with the slab. So the road still exists, and to the extent it will need maintenance, that can be performed during the one-year warranty period. The bill of sale is for the underground improvement.
The property, the ownership of the property gets transferred on the plat subdivision, and then at that point, that transaction is essentially done. The builder builds the roadway. The builder is essentially acting as a contractor for the village at that point. If you want to be drilled down to the fine points legally on it. That's why you don't see a bill of sale on the road.
Typically, what I'm saying, though, is we don't accept the final payment for construction and patching is done out. Road. So where are we at with that portion? We've got more units to be built out there?
No.
Or is am I looking at thinking of the wrong?
Yeah,
I'm thinking of Emerald Bay.
Emerald Bay, yes.
Emerald Bay is the townhome portion over in the valley.
Yeah, this is
okay. So that has been completed.
Okay.
My mind was on the other.
So,
and this is one we was before several months ago with punch list, and the homeowners association was asking for assistance to make sure that.
Right, the bank.
Now I get it straight.
That's exactly right. The bank was still sorting out its role in all of this because there was a bankruptcy and ownership and responsibility for these particular improvements was somewhat in question from the bank standpoint, but that's been hammered out, and we have a bill of sale.
So the homeowner association is happy with where we are currently? There's no issue with the homeowner then?
We did get a letter of consent signed by the homeowner association president. Okay, so there is a mix to go ahead and approve the one you're making. First thing is okay?
Yes.
That's board approved? Alley between Avalon and Illinois Route 134.
Prefabricated water would seep in opening in the cover and then be conveyed in a structural box somewheres. The somewheres, though, becomes problematic as there is no drainage system on the south side of Railroad Avenue until you get almost Days Harbor. So, and an 11-foot wide alley would be pretty problematic to create that invert profile. So it was an option that I looked at, but clearly not one I would recommend. Option three would be to create a shallow swale on the east side of the alley, driveway culverts, and then three inlets to capture the water and to convey it. The main challenge or dilemma with that is to then construct a storm sewer across 134 to the closest inlet, which is on the north side by the entrance and exit to the Metro parking lot. Last option would be to remove the pavement in the alley and build it up with a slope away from the improved property to the west and a shallow swale in our property, and this is only schematic, to carry that swale to a 12-inch storm sewer by Class C chassis, which connects into an 18-inch storm sewer that goes across Illinois 134, ultimately under railroad tracks, and become part of the runoff that we're wanting to and needing to deal with in a more comprehensive manner. So my recommendation, if we're going to do anything, would be option four. This is a more than a cursory look, but by no means can I stand here tonight and say this will all absolutely work and that my $67,000 estimate is spot on. I built in some contingencies in that cost estimate, using about 20% contingency factor. So I did in walking the area today for one more time after consulting with Mark. Did run into Mr. McGillis. He thought he might be here today, but apparently not. I did broach this option with him, and certainly from his perspective, he's fine. If the board so wishes for us to pursue doing something here, I would want to engage with Kurt and get more definitive consideration, make sure there's no fatal flaws before we truly decide to allocate any money to build this. This would be by contract. Not something that I even feel we could do a credible job for the building getting house. Questions?
Yes, the problem is more than just that project area. The predecessor had built a pump down by Ironhorse.
Yeah,
but right now, the last water, the water ran over the pump and then by the restaurant. And that's where that pump went in the first place. So, I am also taking out all the water from the bottom of the area. So it's more than one problem. I have talked to Bachelor Williams in the past, and they told me, they guaranteed me that street was level. And so if it's helped, anybody I have helped, Chris Denver. So thank you, Bachelor Williams.
A company named Deep Survey has done a very credible topographic survey of our land, and it does pick up the alley. And even without the detailed survey, if you stand anywhere near Railroad Avenue and or walk to the south, it is pitched the wrong way for a road without a drainage system.
And will any of these changes have any more effect on the Ace Hardware flooding problem than there is? Or
that Ace Hardware problem.
And you're running the water there, nothing in between is lake, and then there's that flooding issue.
I want to try and answer that briefly. This problem did not contribute to the segment problem. Ace Hardware challenge probably best served, saved for another discussion because it's much more complicated and I'm still definitely in a assessing mode and Mark is, trust you know, has been engaged with Ace Hardware for some while.
But our rerouting isn't going to reroute and affect that in way, shape, or form.
If we go with option four, the 18-inch going across 134 gets into a ditch on the railroad berm side. I'm sorry, I ran out of drinkable space there. Goes into a 36-inch diameter culvert under the railroad, goes into our Hart Road lack of drainage system that will be dealt with as part of its reconstruction, and all of that playing into a regional detention basin that can, wherever it gets sited, pick up all this runoff. So I'm not here to tell you tonight, I got this all figured out, but I am here to tell you we can, if we choose to spend something in the range of 60-some thousand, at least deal with the Sally drainage.
And my understanding is before we fix the road, or before we repaved that was fine, the problem issues with that.
And that's what Mr. McGill has certainly told me the very first time I met with him, and I wish I could validate that or refute it, and I can't. But there is a problem today. However we got there, there's a problem. Please put it in the perspective of all the other drainage and pavement problems we have, so that if we're going to go forward with this as a project, it will lead into our payment and drainage budget.
Can I ask a question? If we route swale down to the end to 134, isn't that Iron Horse's public parking
spot? No, it's ours.
No, it's ours. Okay, but it's used for public parking for Iron Horse. Are we going to fly out that parking lot? Or how is the swale going to be designed to not prevent the parking?
And that's some of the detail that, again, I'd like some help in. And in my write-up, I talk about this parking that Iron Horse uses on this edge of the alley, and then the parking that is accessed off of 134. We have some opportunity if we improve the drainage here to at least position ourselves for paving that area. And here again, my newness and not yet understanding where we're trying to go with this entire area. I'm not, and please don't say that has to be part and parcel of fixing the drainage here, but I would want to consider that to at least, again, position ourselves to do something better than the gravel parking that we have there now.
So your number is 1,000 pavement taken out?
No. Exclusive of that. So I need some direction, not a decision, go forth and do good. Do I spend more time with some help coming up with a more finite plan here to bring back for final decision to go forward?
Is it in our current budget?
I'm sorry?
Is it in our current budget?
No. Is it in our current budget to do some more evaluation?
No. To do the project?
It is not, to build this improvement.
unfortunately, it's been an ongoing issue for several years now. And I just feel sorry so bad for the people who are putting up with all that water back there. And Ironwood is getting a lot of the runoff, which isn't fair. They're building in their business as well. I think this is something we may want to consider finding funding for. I think this is also something that we're giving for being so blessed. I think it's something that we have a faster movement on to work with this on to correct this issue happened as a result of faster movement to avoid and apparently the changes that happened as a result of that. So if we can work together for a price that that we can maybe find funds for, I think it's only fair to people. They've been feeling the pain of it since the paving plan.
Any I would suggest anybody on a rainy day, watch the water, watch the command control, and I can set a pole a couple of times already. And then water inside the building.
So does it run down that gravel behind Gillis and
towards the house side, so it's actually running off and into where it's normally, like you said, a road kind of chaps and it comes off both sides. It's usually caught by a curb, and we don't have a curb down that alley, obviously. It's also not done this way. It's kind of cockeyed towards the houses, so the water isn't going the way I think it was intended to go. I get that just being down there and seeing the water, too. And then, I mean, for heaven's sake, did the survey, and we're getting information that it's not done properly. So I think we have to fix it. So people are getting hurt. I mean, it's affecting
them. I did not mention, but I have talked with the owner of Ironwood on a couple of occasions and walked the ground with him, and yes, he's understandably upset that this has been going on for some while. So again, the only direction I'm seeking tonight is do I spend some more investigative time and come back with a refined option 4.
Right. I mean, I apologize that I don't have a historical perspective. I'm hearing some things tonight for the first time. I do want the board to know that to the extent Baxter Movement contributed to this problem, we're certainly willing to contribute to the solution. I'd be happy to sit down with you and get into the detail, Ron. And if Baxter Movement, as I said, contributes to this problem, we're certainly willing to stand behind it. We're here for the long term for the building.
And
Mr. Mayor, go ahead. Are you
ready? I was about to offer some limited input. I do think we need to investigate it a little bit farther and look and see what options. Maybe there's a way to intercept the water at the top of the hill and run it to the west side and see what we can do with that. And then the outfall options. You just did a preliminary look at the outfall, so you may be able to come up with some other creative options as well if we spend a little more time.
For sure.
So
we need to spend a little more time on it, take a look at it, and then come back with a refined proposal.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Motor fuel tax resolution for Lakewood Terrace construction project.
The Lakewood Terrace MFT resolution is simply formality. The project is within the budget. One of the ways that those are going to fund it was with MFT monies, and
This is just adopting the resolution that formally says the IDOT building benefit allocated $277,200 from RSM NFT money to complete improvements. This is for a section of Lakewood Terrace. This is a project that's going to be built in two phases, certainly designed in one phase, but a portion of it is set to go to bid here in B42, and then another portion next year. And it was packed that way to take advantage of CDBG funds as well.
I have a question on the budget portion on it. So we show $545,723 coming from comp 10683 to 8831. And then this request is just $277,200, and then but it's totaled up. So what is the total comes to 822 and 923. So what is the, I mean, both comp numbers are the same. So is the 545 set for the next year? Is it?
That's other projects with that MFC fund. The total budget for the three projects and fund 10 is $822,023.
Okay.
Of that, 277 is for this project. Okay. Remaining, I believe, is like Hard Road, McGill School Bridge, which was the piece.
Okay.
I don't have the exact numbers of questions.
Yes. Okay, let's move that forward.
Yeah.
Okay, as I have to do a couple of announcements on special events, the Memorial Day Parade is a silent military procession honoring the soldiers or other personnel who gave their lives in service of the country. And as such, they requested that no candy be passed out at the parade. And then a reminder that tomorrow night at 7 p.m. is the Hometown Fest committee meeting. And then at the building and zoning, art code revision discussion.
Yes, sir. I'm trying to bring this to closure. The ARC presentation that we presented in the past. Mike has readied this for adoption. So what this does is a refresher. It changes the structure of the ARC. It's split from 7 to 5 members. And they only look at, they're not going to look at everything now for approval that used to be required in the past. For example, every sign has to get a certificate of appropriateness from the appearance commission, architectural commission, excuse me. And if you call out discussions of the past, they would only be utilized initially for some things in the village. That you don't need to get a certificate of appropriateness for every sign that's installed. And they're also going to look at various requests for existing portions of the code, the appearance code, which you provided a copy with previously. So those are the changes essentially for the Architectural Commission. Also attached to this is the changes to the Chapter 15 of the Village Code, which one would be adopting. The new appearance code, which was not in here, but it was provided to you previously, I didn't reprint that because it's essentially the same thing, unless anybody has any additional changes or comments. There may be a couple of minor revisions along the way to that, but we'll provide that for you if that's the case when it comes time to adopt that code. But with that also revised the design code to discuss for hearings regarding appeals, and you see all the items that we have in here. There is one change right off the bat on 1532 05 regarding the appropriateness of landscaping and building facade. Currently it reads that no multifamily building containing three or more mixed-use commercial industrial buildings should be constructed, altered, landscaped, or repaired, etc. I don't think the intent, as it reads like this, was that landscape or repaired would be something that would require a certificate of appropriateness. It's only construction or alterations to the building that would then require a certificate of appropriateness as specified in the appearance code. There's obviously the other considerations that we've discussed to make it easier for people to do the work. If they meet the appearance code requirements, they would be permitted, essentially issued a permit to do the work that they have planned. If they request a waiver, then it would be heard by the appropriate body as specified here. Like new developments would be planned. ARC wouldn't be involved in the new developments. They would only be ARC, the Greenberg Architectural Commission would be involved in infill or existing properties that would be done for new development. Sign permits are the same way. This says that the building commissioner essentially would be issuing sign permits if they were in accordance with the appearance code that we discussed previously. And again, there's a proper opportunity for due process. In the event somebody wants a revision or some change from sign or the architectural code, they can get heard by the architectural commission. And then if it requires major variance, it may be referred to the board for waivers or the planning commission as appropriate, depending on what their waiver may be. So it simplified things that we discussed a long time ago. And, you know, again, this is just in ready for your approval. Our plan would then also be, we can consider this, we can get this done, but we still have to do the zoning code. But to change the zoning code, the planning commission needs to weigh in on that, so we need to conduct a hearing. The plan is to conduct that hearing on the zoning code changes in June, and then the change to the zoning code would be the next item after this that would be called to the board. So.
Building commissioner. So should we just change that, or
perhaps
building commissioner,
the
village administrator?
Well, I think, you know, Mike and I talked about that and looked at different options. One could just assume that it's implied that if there's no building commissioner, that, you know, village administrator, then that building commissioner reports to the administrator would be then responsible. But at the same time, we could also add something to that. You could broaden the, I have to look at the village code, but it may be something that could be broadened up to the village administrator's duties that if there was no department head, then, you know, the administrator would have to fill a role in the interim or for whatever time period that would be. Or another option would be to add something specifically here that in the event that there's no building commissioner or in his absence, to be the building administrator or designee, that would do that too. So those are the options that we discussed and considered. If you prefer it here, we could add it to here specifically.
Right, what's the board's preference on that? I mean, it's implied in the administrator ordinance that in the absence of one of Mark's direct reports, he's responsible for it. But for clarity purposes, one, and should we make a revision to the code? And then two, do you want that in the city administrator portion, which I think would be easier for users of the code, just so that you don't have it, have to put it everywhere throughout the municipal code?
The person using this code or reading this code for their purposes are going to see building commissioner, oh, they don't have one. I'm not going to use it. And then they're going to run into problems and they're going to say, but I think if we're using the clarity of the right wording, I'm all for that because I just don't want to see we have already gotten the bubble wrap that we're hard to use and we're hard to get, you know, through, and, you know, we make them jump through hoops. Can't we make this just one thing simpler?
Right. Which simple is kind of in the eye of the beholder on that one, Trustee Sherman. My version of simple would be to put it in the city administrator area, because then legally you're covered to the extent there's anything that's not clear now. Now, Eric can talk more to this as a prosecutor now. Me, as a guy who used to prosecute, I have not seen somebody come in and say that you don't have one defense to any sort of enforcement action or anything like that. Because people who are going to try and get cute, so to speak, with building code or shirk the rules are going to find a way to try and do that irrespective of whether a building commissioner is on vacation or the position's unfilled at the moment. And to the extent we have personnel to issue tickets or do inspections, I think from an enforcement standpoint, the building is going to be okay. So from a language perspective, my recommendation would be to put it in the city administrator's section, but we can certainly put it wherever the board thinks it is more easy to use. That, like I said, easy can be kind of a eye of the beholder thing.
Yeah, that's me. I'm just that little bit of the
Well, it's just that if it's a building commissioner or a designee, then you really have almost a more complicated problem, because then the building commissioner, who now currently doesn't exist, has to designate somebody to do the fill that role in his absence or her absence. So I'm not sure that particular language would cure.
We do a reference to village administrator
in between the two. Well, that's what I'm suggesting is a global clarification in the village administrative part of the code, perhaps some people below the tree.
Well, giving them some idea that it's listed elsewhere instead of letting them assume that it isn't, or go crazy trying to look for it, not knowing where.
Have you found samples that are easy to follow from other communities that we could look for some guidance?
We'd like the board to consider these changes right now so we can get moving on the process. I mean, obviously, we'll come up with some language, but obviously at the next meeting, hopefully we'll consider to adopting this. And again, I'll provide this a copy of the ARC, just in the event that anybody misplaced it or really wants to see it again.
Can you give me a little more?
Yes.
In the past, I know that there has been discussion. I know we're going from 7 people to 5 people, and we are diminishing the board. There's also a question. We pay the architectural board, and we also pay the zoning. But we don't pay the liquor commission. So I know there has been discussion that you might want to see these as volunteer positions, but have you given that more thought, or are we still...
That was one of the things that I had heard comments, and I was going to ask what the pleasure of the board would be.
See, I'm forgetting you again.
That, and are there other things as well?
That was one of my issues. I don't know if the board has a whole deal.
How often was the meeting now?
Been very limited.
So it's really not that dollar-wise that was done.
Based on the revisions that we're proposing, it would be much more limited than what your services were in the past.
So it's not more that they don't have a meeting, they don't have a paper.
No, correct.
And again, I just wanted to point out that we don't pay liquor commission, and they meet. So I'm just kind of wondering how lopsided and unfailing they look or be.
So you're proposing making all of the commission positions volunteer?
I wouldn't be opposed to it. I think it's actually, you know, a good thing to give that kind of service to your village. But then again, we're not making all that money. I think, well, I don't have a horse in that particular race, but I'd be willing to go with whatever the majority speaks here.
How much do they get paid now?
It's like
$20 per member, $65 per chair per meeting. You must be in attendance.
Liquor numbers?
No, that's for the zoning and the ARC.
Why the ARC and what?
So, and the zoning.
Like Ms. Gomez feels. Yeah, they have. The ARC hasn't met in the last couple of months, but there's only one month at max. On the meetings, my commission hasn't met that often either. In the past, that wasn't the case, obviously. This is also a diminished role. But yeah, it was done with it was done by ordinance in 2003, full compensation. So
we'd have to try to counter ordinance.
Yeah, repeal or just add a comment here that we no longer be compensated. We supersede the other payment ordinance. The planning commission's not in that direction. No. Yeah, that was just the ARC public affairs. There's no approval.
I know, but
another topic for another meeting then, separate topic, because we can agree to move this forward. Did we already do that? Or are we still talking about this particular?
Talk more about this one, move this one forward and then bring this one back.
Bring it back to separation?
Yeah, because I think if we probably want to get some input from some of the members.
We've also got fire and police commission, police pension board members. Those are not paid positions either.
I think you can compare that one. Are we going to have a list of all of them?
Yeah,
yeah.
That's meaning for the list.
The only ones that are getting paid are the two parks and buildings.
Planning and zoning, I think historically part of it was there are fees connected with the applications that cover the board members' expenses, or at least part of it. So that was some of the consideration, I'm sure. And similarly for the architectural review bill, probably because there were fees associated with it.
Okay.
Application fees.
Sign any
from
new
people.
Yes, yes. New developments, remember that was part of the issue that they had to involve. And people are going to do that now. but regardless, anybody found it currently, right, that work.
So simply because those two committees make money for the application, they would take pay off of that application fee, Captain? I'm greedy here, I really don't
know. As far as when, how it all started, I think that was part of the consideration of why they were taking positions. Again, looking for discussion, what the preference of the board is.
Can we move that to a separate topic?
Sounds like it. More discussion, so if everybody's okay moving our changes forward, we'll do that, and then that'll be a future topic. Okay, then Don had a question on building department reports.
I have one more thing for that. As you know, we do not have a building commissioner at this point, so I did not get a building department report. Mark, do you know the time of the day when you would be getting a building department report?
Well, I was in the process of learning the software, so I'm hoping that we have a thing to move on.
Well,
May is the first one, the priority. I can get back into April, then I'll circle back in April, but...
Is there a combination of April and May and looking for it?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
He's not at the town.
Yeah, okay, I don't remember, but I don't know, because I'm still trying to get up to speed more with that software. So. But yeah, maybe the goal is, you know, after the end of May, we'll start to find out with that.
That's all. Somewhere around in May.
Well, I have to May. It's got to be June, because it'll be through May for the reporting.
The other thing I wanted to say, I have heard the report, Mark, that sent two of our inspectors to the energy code. And in the past, we wouldn't allow our commissioner to go. I called back, said nobody in the village to do inspection. So
they don't have the certifications for energy code training now. If it's unavailable, we don't have anybody certified to do energy code training. So those guys have
to. One versus two.
Well, they both may need at any specific moment, and it was free, and there was no charge for it, so.
It was kind of cool. There's a building being unprotected as far as the
just not. Yeah, no, I understand. I mean, we talked about that, you know, but it was a free seminar that was put on by another village, and we do have to have some, it's one of the state energy requirements that we, it's an unfunded mandate, and we have to address that, so. Yeah, we talked about staffing, you know, it's appropriate that Amy Agua had been an inspector before.
So we're not going to
have to do that. I'm a certified building inspector too, believe it or not.
Mr. Mayor, are we, I didn't see what's on the agenda, are we, Don, the question you're asking, are those related to?
No, that was additional, that I wanted to interject the reports and years ago.
Okay.
That's from my life, still doing my report for the Hills of Work as a chair.
Okay.
And police.
Mr. Mayor, ladies and gentlemen of the board, I've got two requests concerning police vehicles and the associated equipment purchases. The first is asking you for authorization to purchase three new Ford Police Interceptors for Curry Motors. We requested and received six quotes from six different Ford dealers. And they range from the highest $23,859 to the lowest, which is Curry Motors, at $23,082. All of these quotes are exact apples to apples. There's nothing different about any of them that I'm aware of. We budgeted $69,000, and that was at the time, it was a close guess. We didn't have the prices for the Ford Interceptors yet, so that didn't start making them. So when we put the budget together, frankly, that $23,000 each. And So that brings us to $246 over what the initial budget for these cars. That's the first portion. Are there any questions?
I noticed Curry Motors, they don't have a delivery charge, or they do not deliver?
We're going to pick them up.
So it's not any extra cost?
That was that one part fine.
Okay.
And, on the executive summary, you mentioned that the Ford Roosevelt sector is not on the current state of data.
That's correct. They have the SUV interceptor, but they do not have this car.
So what's the significance of that?
It just, Ford didn't have the pricing of the statement together than we had. But most pricing for their statement.
This is not a pricing statement.
The statement doesn't even exist in this car. This is the price from the, I think it's called the Northwest Municipal Deal. It's similar to the statement, and that's what this price is. Why it's much lower than the rest of them that came from there. And we did verify every bit of more than more, but probably three occasions for each of them to make sure they were as current as last week.
I guess that's your question, because a buying car of the state, the price are typically less than the state contract.
I'm sorry, I wrongfully assumed that you were going to. With the statement, they asked for prices for everything from nuts and bolts to cars, ambulances, fire trucks. And that's what they just didn't have. Are there any other questions about the cars?
Okay. Just for the record, their cap is some, if I don't recall the exact number, it's like 1,560 hours or anything. We will not come anywhere close to that. We probably would have a hard time passing the $1,000 that the village was part of. I can't imagine that it'd be very close.
So this is as far as the knowledge is?
Yeah.
But not that we should use the permission to hire a person.
No, sorry. It's just me.
Everybody's okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Administration.
Mike, can you do the discussion on the...
Sure.
I don't think you're going to have a presentation and provide all the information packet. That's good enough.
It's up to the audience. I can wing it without the PowerPoint. The PowerPoint's not working more.
I don't like that. That's true.
Because I have some
these. Those surgeries are good.
Yeah. Is the cable plug?
Yes, sir. Believe me, there's no pride of ownership here. If anybody is better at this,
which is where all of these are. This is kind of kind of the western, really two-thirds of the property that was donated by the Fawcett family late last year, the end of last year. And everything in green on there is privately owned. And everything in white to the right, you can barely see it, but it says village owned up on the right. We own everything along the lake going back basically to where Park and Park meet. And then it's privately owned going all the way past and across Cedar Lake. On the flat subdivision, Marcus, that's four. On the flat subdivision, you find this stuff that really only surveyors read. And it's a covenant and a restriction as to the private rights of everybody that is shown in green on the last line. So what that document actually says is that there's a private park and there's some private roads. And it also says expressly that the public is excluded from those areas. So we are prohibited, and Jim and I have gone round and round on this, we're prohibited from allowing the public to access these areas under the strict terms of the plat of subdivision. And so that's why we need to, in order to do the improvement, go out and get some releases. So what you have in there is a guided explanation, which are common questions that come up whenever people go door to door looking for somebody to sign a deed or...
What's the lawyer?
Oh, look at this, too.
That's lazy now.
Look at that. We go through and we hand out, okay? You go along and you got on the back page of the packet, the last two pages, front and back, is the document that we need. This document contains a lot of legalese. You put it under somebody's nose after the signing, they're going to be appropriately suspicious of why you're asking them to sign a document that contains a release of rights to a road and the release of rights to a private park. So before you go out and ask them to do this, educate yourself and educate your volunteers about the legal aspects of this form. And what's in the form? The form expressly releases only the technical rights that are on the plat. It doesn't release the right to use roads in Round Lake. It doesn't sign over any part of their home. It doesn't sign over any part of the easements that are in the periphery of their home or anywhere throughout that subdivision. We talk about property rights being a bundle of sticks, right? Ownership being the biggest stick in the bundle. This is a tiny little twig that is tacked onto that bundle 100 years ago by the subdivider of this property. And the reason it's a tiny little twig is because the private park has never been developed into a private park, and the private roads have essentially been taken over and constructed and maintained by the village for time immemorial. Nobody knows, right? I don't think anybody knows. So all the roads on that plat, trying to go backwards. Just keep going, that's right. All the roads on the flat are private roads. But the village has really exercised all of the job of ownership for the past, how long? Look down there, that's all private roads, according to the flat. We can't find a conveying instrument that turns them into public roads. Short Street, over there, this kind of stuff there, that's a private road. We own it. It's about the size of a lot. It's not good for much at this point, and that's one of the things that people are releasing. So as you explain to people what they're releasing, you're explaining that they're releasing one technical right to the private park. If they don't release the technical rights to the private park, the village can't spend any money to turn it into a public park. and the only way it's going to get turned into a public park is if the village does it. Because it hasn't been done for 100 years, it's probably a pretty good sign that it's not going to happen.
Yes, 100% participation?
We need 100% participation in order to issue any sort of bonds, or we'll need a guarantee and indemnity by the village to any bondholders in the event a property owner comes out of the woodwork and wants to enforce the private property rights. My recommendation is you get 100% participation unless we have owners that can't be found and properties that are abandoned. That's the only situation. That's really the crux of this thing. I think that it may be better for me to ask if there's any questions about the shorthand guy. Things people hate to see on this document is the 10 bucks. It's an insult to them. I acquired property for villages where we were acquiring acres or strips across the front, and it's always 10 bucks, right? Drives people nuts. That's a relic in the law that turns this into a contract as opposed to a mere handing over of the property. So you can just explain that. It's old-fashioned legalese. We can't change. And that's what turns it into a contract so that we can enforce the transfer of that right. The other thing that people are going to get up in arms about is the releasing language that's in the document. I mean, they're releasing their rights, right? And if they're releasing their rights to something big, they have cause for alarm. But you have to explain to them that they're really releasing their rights to something that doesn't exist. The road has already been taken over by the village. So from the road standpoint, it's really a formality at this point, because we have a pretty good case that the public owns it by prescription, which is basically a trespass that goes on for 20 years or more and turns it public. So the road really is off the table. The park is a different story because that's been sitting unapproved for so long. It's not going to turn into a park village release.
Suggest that we may have to do a calculation to see how much money each property owner would owe the village for improvements of the roads over the years, who might be an enticement.
$500, $600
Right. You could go that route and say, well, how much do you think it costs to plow this thing every year? We're happy to impose a special service area or something like that.
We're trying to make sure you don't have any issues with that in the future.
That's right.
Now, Don, is your home, are all of those 62 homes occupied?
There's a lot of vacant lots. Fawcett family still owns at least a third of them, I believe.
In the green?
In the green, yes.
Well, stay there. So they're not all developed lots in the green, then?
Correct.
Okay. So,
we are going to do track searches and find the record owners for each lot, and then we'll prepare a release document for each owner. And
so, the owner or owners will be listed on that search?
All the owners, yes. So all the owners of records will be listed.
You expect to say, like, you have husband and wife, or you have father and son, and so we get one signature and you know we're supposed to get the other two.
Right. No, we're gonna get a track search which shows who the record owners are, and then you get whoever's listed on the track. So we'll be preparing 60 of these things that you'll know when you go to, you know, 100 West Park that you bring up the Smith documents and get that signature. Right. Well, I guarantee you will find some of that. That's just always the way it is. I mean,
Bryce Fawcett had mentioned that he knows the majority of the property owners, and before we actually did the transfer, he said that he would be willing to help out with getting the release, and that there may be only a handful of people that would be amicable to dealing with them.
And what we can do maybe to take it a step further, other than a guide and explanation, is to have some talking points which say that the Fawcett family has donated all of this acreage. The Fawcett family has released the rights on the land that it's still holding. And that's a good kind of jumping off point for a discussion with another homeowner to say,
and we're asking you to do the same,
not costing you anything, and at the end we're all going to have a lakefront park.
So for those who don't want a park there, they're going to say, I'm not signing it, and then that's the end of the thing. There are a couple of months already we're talking about a park going there.
It's the end of it unless you use your eminent domain power. Which a public park would be,
there are probably the lots themselves are not encumbered by the restriction. So there's still area available that can be developed aside from the restricted parcels.
Right, the restricted, this area right here is called out as private park. And that's really what they're releasing. All of this is free and clear. Except for the street, which is designated private road. So
I'm thinking it would be helpful to have those diagrams in the packet.
Yeah, actually, show the areas.
Show the areas that we're asking rent to release. And it might not even be bad to have that language you had in the first. Here's the reason why we have to do that.
100-year-old. Chunk of them. There's always going to be a couple of holdouts, and then you're going to have a tough decision to make at the end of it. And so what you do with these holdouts, there's just always going to be a few.
And now the few that you've talked to and have expressed their feelings, what is their reasoning for not wanting to park?
Decreased traffic. They don't want a parking lot down there.
Now they obviously live on the left side, and the park is going to be at the right side, correct?
No. They live on the right side. On the left side, and the parking in the street, the parking that they think that is going to happen. But we start declaring that he's just going to be a parking lot, and then he's a block in it. So they don't have a lot of parking.
So they're going to come up over here on the right side, all the way left side, and that's going to interfere with that?
They're coming up this way. And they're parking at a park.
Right.
And that park, going to hit the park.
The other thing that has worked in other situations is to do some concept drawings and to kind of dispel some of the myth that will surround the acquisition. So somebody thinks to build a multi-deck parking facility there in order to accomplish a boat launch and a restaurant and all that. You want to show them a concept plan that's been approved by the village board that shows an actual very passive use.
You two remember they were here at the last board meeting and they had wanted to speak on that subject, and due to time constraints we pushed it off to this meeting. So we're up in arms a little bit about that. I did speak with a few of them, also with Doug Velo, so I had to have calmed down and realized that we're not going to listen to what they have to say, but the time for them to voice their opinion was not yet, so we have more evidence and more stuff to show. So.
The
other
idea would probably be very good. Call them in, invite them in, come with your
concerns,
come with your questions. We can then in return answer the questions.
Well, they're going to plan on when we're ready for that, they will come to the board meeting. If you get them on the agenda at the regular meeting, they're not sit through a couple hours of stuff that are not going to talk. They'll be appreciated.
Could we have a special
meeting
for that?
Yeah, why don't we have a special meeting just for that?
So they're not meeting again, or certainly. Feel that we do value that deal support issue with that we're making extra time for them. Can we do that?
It's not like we need to vote on it.
Right. I was at the last meeting, do you have a list of the people that I could get?
And who are the people that come in?
The regulars. Another regular.
And these regulars.
All this one.
We won't have the list of everybody that's on the full.
We won't have it by the next meeting, if these tracks are just a big couple.
Can we deliver something to them, inviting them to the special meeting?
I think the suggestion from them was, is if we gave them like a short handout of what the intent is at this point, that nothing is going to agree upon, and their forces or input is, we want that, I think that will show some that we're back and whatever was needed as a park that they must plan, that would help solve some of that.
Anybody who lives down here does not have to sign off. Anybody in the Round Lake View Zone?
What about Audrey? So the corner?
No.
She would have to sign it every day.
This is
one of those lots in green going to the back.
There's two subdivisions at play. The south side of the park is Round Lake View. South side of the park and east of the park is Round Lake View. Different subdivision doesn't have the restrictions. The one I just showed you is that this is our rear block below. So as a preliminary matter, the record owner search is just to give you a heads up and get your consent to move forward. It costs about $50 a parcel from Real Estate Index, which is a company we use to do those. I recommend doing that so that you have somebody to hold responsible for those record owner searches in the event there's a problem out of the road.
Can't we just go on the Lake County website?
The Lake County website has a disclaimer on it that the information, though deemed reliable, is not the official record of who owns the property. You can get also on the website, you get taxpayer information, but that's not sufficient to do this relief.
We're looking at $50 times $60.
And that's not my firm, Real Estate Index.
Well, we don't need it for the ones that are owned by the sponsors, right?
No. We can get a bulk deal from those. You still want to make sure, especially with the fossils, now that you mentioned them, because the way ownership has been transferred through the generations over there, we want to make sure that we have the exact named owner signing off on the relief. This is actually a little more complicated than the average homeowner. We're going to work on one. They're down from 75, so we're still working on
one. And how much did they own?
You know how many costs it on there?
About a third of them.
Okay, that's 20.
We could do a quick search to
spread around the city.
All right. Of the lots on the south side of the park, west of Cedar Lake, right there, that Atlantic, because we're three. South side of Cedar Lake, there's two in there today, and several on the north side.
So we don't have any concept drawings yet.
We have one that our district put together quickly.
There's
no one by feeling. It's not based on the topographic survey of the site. We have some doubts whether it, the concepts will probably go to the actual layout of what may be practical probably from that.
And I'm thinking maybe it's best to actually not have that, because to your point, John, people are concerned about having input. If you're already coming with drawings and everything, it sounds it's looking for them like you've already made up your mind on what it is, or you've already started thinking about it, whereas you just come and say, here's what we got.
You've already got the stuff from Lake Management, the park district representative line there, so they've already been hearing stuff in the preliminary drawing already. So they had asked me to see the preliminary drawings, so I had showed them. Very preliminary, nothing's cast in stone. This is just an idea. If you want your ideas, we can come up with one.
So you don't need any mayor's direction to order the record owner searches, and you don't need a formal motion. I just need to know the feeling of the board on that. And it'll appear on a bill's list.
But do we need to do that to call them in a special meeting?
No. No, we need to do that. We'll get the written first and determine what the most practical way to the whole year.
Like the mayor said, a lot of them that were here are not on that list.
Are not?
No.
They don't need time.
There is issue.
There is
the result of where the area is going to have impact on them on the other side of
that. Okay. Move along with the Sun Time IGA. Don has the engagement he needs to get to. So try to get it all covered while he's here.
The two sunshine item summary is simply spend comments elected to take on the village of Antioch, which is the fire dispatch. Because of that, they require that all communities that are serviced by Antioch re-enter into the intergovernmental agreement that you've already signed. What this adds is just language adding to Antioch. It doesn't change any of our monetary obligations one way or the other. It actually has 1% saving. We would have had an increase of 1% in saving even more. And Antioch is bringing in some equipment, which for the most part is
so they only have voting rights also, and they would have said about it.
Do we have anything against India?
No.
Similar language to the other entities that don't use the facility. They would not be using it either. Also, any suggestion that we could try to talk to Lake County and see if they would be willing to provide a lockup at the North Branch Court facility. So we haven't broached that subject with them yet. It probably won't go anywhere. If we don't ask, we don't know. So any questions on the IGA or before we move on to approval? Okay.
I guess Mr. Mayor, I have a little question. Is there a small amount on that from the current board?
Not that we're aware of at this point. Suggesting that we open up other portions again. We don't really want to go there. After a year of getting the last one approved.
Yep.
Suggested new topics that we haven't discussed already. Investment policy. Is that on the list already? Investment policy, is that on the list already?
Yeah. I don't know if it was
specific. And then we also wanted to bring back the architectural review and the
board statement.
Right.
Appointed board payment discussion.
Can we get some sort of electronic distribution of our packets so we can save on our community service officers' time and then also our trees and feet.
Are we also willing to appropriate funds for nice little tablets like Mike's got here so we can bring them and read them and so everybody doesn't have to put them up as well?
Well, we have our computers that can turn them on our home and I'm willing to do so for...
Then we get extra reimbursement of cost and everything else and we're still not saving the trees if we're printing them.
If I choose to print them. Because I can always go like this and see like this and write my notes somewhere else. I'm perfectly fine with that because that's the name. This text goes, here you go, Mark.
And I think we've discussed that before. They are available electronically.
Yes, if, or if you picked up two. So I'll get pictures of my call and say it's ready and she stops by and picks them up. Do you guys want to pick them up instead of using the CSO?
So if you would prefer to only have an electronic copy, I think that would be the option.
And then also,
I got it written down.
So would we be allowed to use our own laptop? Not up here? I mean, so you always have to use open computer?
Well, you risk, FOIA stuff, right? I mean, anything down there?
If the Attorney General has recently come out with a kind of a troubling interpretation of the Freedom of Information Act, and that is that any time a trustee generates a document in the midst of a meeting, that document, no matter where held, no matter what it was produced, is subject to the Open Meetings Act and the Freedom of Information Act. And the problem occurred in a village board meeting where two trustees were texting madly during the meeting and the reporter who was covering it issued a FOIA. And the AG determined that those documents were subject to the FOIA. So that's always a risk out there. I wouldn't say that that's a reason not to go paperless. It is something to be aware of while you're using electronic devices.
If you did have something electronic that you use for the meeting, then
it's one more thing we have to search in response to FOIA. So just be aware of that. I mean, frankly, that interpretation is not supported in the statute, but it is the Attorney General's current interpretation of the law. And he laughs because he hears me rant about this during the day anyway. He's heard many of my rants, but he's... So, anyway, be aware of that. It's one more item to search, and there's been no accounting for the fact that you have all your personal stuff on there. The state should not be allowed to search that stuff on to your piece of equipment.
Well, even if I had one specific folder designated, it was around me, even if they didn't search it, it would be
I think that's good faith compliance with the statute. I really do. You have no kind of rule you're going to get from the public act.
Okay, that's
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Getting ready.